You're listening to Wisdom of the Ages, the show that taps into the many expressions of universal, ancestral, and personal wisdom to ignite evolutionary consciousness.
Welcome, love and blessings. This is Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages. I am happily a part of the Superpower Up Network, the number one podcast network for personal development and spiritual growth. And today I have a really special subject for you. I want to talk to you about the beloved, what the beloved is, and the sacred soulmate. A little bit different than the soulmate. Sacred soulmate really is about walking with you all the way to the divine. It's a tender subject because I found so many people seek true union and they find it elusive or even impossible. And of course, really, the beloved can be found within. In fact, that's where we need to start. But what I want to explore with you today is how the beloved can be a path to spiritual awakening and ultimately liberation. I mean, in India, they talk about the householder path, but you know, in the West, we would see it more as the beloved as a path to spiritual awakening. So in 1987, I began to dream that my higher self was telling me that a time was coming where we would be invited into a new paradigm, where we would need to step into a multidimensional way of being. And sometimes I could ride the wave and sometimes it knocked me over. But eventually I realized that I needed to become one with that wave. And that wave was love. It was a big wave. So I've hesitated to speak about the beloved. It's a very intimate, very personal subject for me. I wanted to be truly grounded in the understanding before I started to speak about it publicly. But I think now, after 16 years with my beloved yogi, John Patrick Sullivan, I can at least speak about our experience of what this journey together has been like and continues to be like. So, you know, living with the soulmate is a bit like surfing in the cosmic ocean. So the true soulmate is here to ride the wave to cosmic bliss. And there are lots of waves on the way there, and they can be all kinds of shapes and sizes. But the soulmate is here ultimately to help us dissolve our character defects and distortions of the ego until we both melt into the ocean, until we merge back to source. So our sacred soulmate helps us understand that we are not male or female. Let me say that again. Our sacred soulmate, our beloved, helps us to understand that we are not male or female, but beyond gender. And we can start to understand that through our union. The beloved helps us remember that the source of love is found within and can be shared, and that ultimately our true nature is that of love. So our beloved actually helps us stabilize as love. The beloved, the sacred soulmate, our intimate companion, is here to offer feedback and to point out our errors also. Yeah, they protect us and they help us back up to our feet sometimes, but they also support our wildness and our sovereign expression. A sacred soulmate leads us to God, or maybe God, Goddess, all that is, really, to the union of the divine. And it happens in ways, in experiential ways, that we probably have never thought or dreamt of. So, you know, this sacred, beloved relationship is a way of ecstatic union of the body-mind until there's no more body-mind, but just unity consciousness. The sacred soulmate is here to crack us open to the truth of who we are, and then looking at the eyes of the other, we realize that we're looking into the eyes of cosmic bliss, and their eyes are no different than our own. So what does this mean? Well, the soulmate invites us into the understanding of our true nature, our infinite self. They hold our beauty, our ugliness, our pain, our suffering, our sadness, our joy, our open heart, until the illusion of the false self falls away and we are standing raw and naked and loving and the true self. The beloved sacred relationship is not for the faint of heart. And it has been and continues to be the most beautiful journey of my life. So I want to dedicate this episode to my friend Trudy, who has always wanted her brochure. And I've told her many times that I would talk to her about it or speak about it. And here we go. So this is for you, Trudy. May you find your brochure. So brochure is a Yiddish word that means soulmate, the one that has been divinely chosen for you. So the years of living a life of awakening with my beloved continue to be, oh my goodness, what do I say? Just a continual dance of cosmic ecstasy and disappearing into the emptiness, as he would like to say. And you never know how long you have to spend with your beloved, you know, and it's not about fear or clinging or wondering, you know, or trying to make something happen, because we're always changing and transforming. The beloved always encourages us to be free, to be our wild, unique, mystical, authentic self. So I hope what I will share with you today will inspire you to try love once again, or to deepen the relationship that you already find yourself in, or simply fall in love with yourself, which is where this journey begins. Living a life of love can take us into a new paradigm. So in this monologue, I will explain the inner alchemy of love from the spiritual perspective, and how we establish love as a way of being. And actually, if you really enjoy this monologue and you want to hear more, there are lots of interviews here on love and sacred relationship and spiritual awakening. You can go to superpowerexperts.com/wisdomoftheages, and you might find quite a bit there. So Trudy, this is for you and all the listeners who are curious about the beloved and if it really is possible to live a relationship of love. When we come back from this short break, we're going to talk more about love, soulmates, and the beloved. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Tonya Don Rekla, Executive Director of Superpower Experts, and we want to thank each of you for making Superpower Up the number one podcast network for personal development and spiritual growth. Because people like you have the courage to say that mindfulness, healthy living, disrupting reality, the pursuit of consciousness, responsible entrepreneurship, and radical parenting matter. We now amass over 1 million downloads monthly in more than 90 countries. Our numbers keep growing because there are far more people willing to live divergently than mass media wants to acknowledge. For you, the change makers, the light bearers, the way showers, we say thank you. If you're ready to take the next step in your evolution, go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz. And as Neva Lee Rekla, our youngest podcaster, likes to remind us, remember, we all have superpowers and we can change the world.
Love and blessings. Welcome back to the Wisdom of the Ages podcast show. This is your host, I'm Kate Sullivan. And today I'm sharing what I have learned about sacred relationship, soulmates, and the beloved. I want to share something of my personal journey of the beloved, how to navigate some of the issues, and how we can truly awaken together, becoming precious pearls, polishing each other, operating in the new paradigm of unity consciousness and loving kindness. So if I back up for a little bit, I did not start out completely successful. This is my third marriage, and I loved both of my other husbands, but they were Dharma mates, and Dharma mates are quite different than soulmates. Dharma mates are people that you have that come in and you have something to do with them. And my first marriage, it was my daughter, Catherine. My second marriage, it was my son, William, and or our son, William. And I, I really, really never wanted to get divorced. I wanted to have a stable, solid environment for my children to be raised in. And I was devastated when I realized both times that it was not going to work. And really, really broke my heart. But, you know, sometimes in order to evolve, the heartbreak, the betrayal, and the multiple betrayals sometimes that happen aren't really so much about, you know, telling a story of hardship and pain. They're really about breaking you up, breaking your heart open until you realize something about the truth of who you are. So I am still friends with both of my previous husbands, and I really appreciate the role that they played in my life. And I wasn't sure after that, especially after the second divorce, that I ever wanted to try again. I just felt it hurt too much. It was too confusing, and I thought maybe I should be a nun. That relationship was in the way of my spiritual evolution. And you know, and sexual intimacy, which we've talked about on the show with Mark Whitwell, was confusing too. And I was really happy to meet him and talk about the fact that you can be a spiritual person and a sexual person and erotic person and still evolve spiritually. So I think that's an upgrade that we've really had in this century. I know that there was a lot of pain in the past around the subject. And so, you know, sexuality is a little tricky because it's a very powerful energy. And we need to work with it responsibly and with awareness. So I've done some other shows on sacred relationship with the body and clearing the mind also. You know, that's part of spiritual awakening, spiritual evolution. And also our belly center, really our pelvis. And understanding, for a woman to understand that her womb is really a precious jewel. It's a chalice that needs to be honored and protected and cleansed. And it's a receptacle for life. And after menopause, it can become a holy grail, aligned with the sun, aligned with the universal energies, and can be a source of nurturing for us, connection, a place where we can connect not only to the earth, but also to the cosmos. And so this evolution of the womb from the biological vessel that holds a child to the biological, or not actually at that point, it's no longer biological, but this space that holds the connection to the divine is really, it's really a deep subject. Different podcast, but deep subject. So, and also for a man, I think to understand that his genitals are sacred, and that we really need to honor our pelvic region, our belly, our yoni and vajra as sacred. They're really part of the divine. You know, there's no reason to separate out for, you know, whatever is beneath our solar plexus. You know, all of us, every single part of us is part of the divine. And so when we enter into sacred union with that understanding, and that we're really understanding the cosmos and every aspect of our beloved's body, mind, and soul, it's a very different experience. And then plus with the physical union at that point, the point of the physical union is to understand the oneness of the divine. Now, you know, I think before we can find the outer beloved, we really have to discover and establish the inner beloved. And then that's a lot of what, you know, what I've spoken about, you know, the clarity of the mind, the clarity of the heart, the clarity of the belly center, our place as this bridge between heaven and earth. It's something that the Celts did incredibly well, which is one reason I love Celtic mythology, and I've written a lot of love stories about Húlin of Morhevna and Ymir, and then the woman who trained him, Skáir, and also the love story of Kerr and Angus Og. So these stories can help us understand male and female essence and how they operate and how ultimately they merge into oneness. I think especially the story of Angus Og and Kerr and how he had to learn to become a swan, to be able to fly between the worlds, to live with his fairy lover. So, but let me tell you a personal story. So when John Patrick and I were married, I was older, we were both older, and we knew that our union was not about having more children. We were past that. I was past that age. So our commitment was really to spiritually awaken together. Now, the hugging saint, Amaché, performed our marriage, and it was really an incredible ceremony. I'd been a devotee for about a decade, and so I took John Patrick to her. I was like, I do not want to get into another mess again. But she sent this to an astrologer, her Vedic astrologer, who said, you know, out of the last 79 charts I looked at, you guys have no karma. You have no karma, and this is definitely a beloved relationship. So that means that there were no planets that were in conflict with each other. We had really nothing to finish up together. It was really a contract about waking up together. So our wedding rings read on the inside, "Love you all the way to God." And that's really what the journey has been about. And you know, he's also, we have this interesting yogic, we both love India and the yogic enlightenment traditions. We both, John Patrick's 99% Irish, and so we both love the Celtic lineage too. So it was this mixture of sort of hand fasting and yogic union, and he was also raised Catholic, and I was raised Unitarian. So also this love of God, God is all that is on many levels. And I think for both John Patrick and I, God, God is all that is really true nature, is really the intelligent force of life. So as a depiction, as a deity, we might see Karnanas and Ellen, or we might see Shiva Shakti, or we might see a variety of things, but ultimately it's an experience of the divine. So when we met in 2005, we'd both gone through sobriety and we were committed to our spiritual paths. So and at first we focused on the householder path. I was still raising my son and daughter. My daughter was older, but my son was still pretty young. And so he took a lot of energy and focus, and it was very important. I might do another podcast on raising children, but you know, raising children can also be a path to the divine also. I mean, I really thought of them as my seva, as my gift to God and to humanity. And I took that seriously. I still do take that seriously, but they have flown off and are doing their own things now. But you know, when we do have children in our household, they do require a lot of attention and care, so that they can be raised to become really beautiful beings. So as the children grew up and moved on to their lives in their own unique and dynamic ways, our relationship also changed, and we had time to become increasingly contemplative. And you know, in a way, now we're more like priests and priestesses, or yogi yogini, who make the daily choice to live in the same home and share the chores of a householder life together. But we live on a farm in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia with a cat and three dogs and six horses. You know, we have our little family, and we just love them. And our day consists of dream recall in the morning, having a cup of tea together, walking meditation with the dogs and the horses, reading of sacred texts and writing, household chores, prayer, chanting, yoga, meditation, a lot of self-inquiry, a lot of dialectic inquiry, which I'll get back to in a little bit, and time spent in nature. So some days we spend a lot of time together, and other days we prefer solitude. We have a dance, and I think it's really important in this, in the sacred relationship, that we have a balance between how much we need to be in a merged state of love and how much, you know, we need our own unique and individual expression. They're both really important, and we need to support each other in our wild self. So so I had to learn a little bit with him. He could spin, I maybe can match him now, but in the beginning, he could really go into silence for a week or a month even. And I would think that that meant that he had left me or that he was no longer interested. And after a while, I realized that that was actually just his path. That was his call. He would literally disappear into the nothingness. And but when he would come back, he would be ecstatic and blissful and so much fun to be around and so free. And he would always say, you know, I go in for you. I let go of my history so that I can be fully here and present for you. So over the years, we started to find, you know, more of a natural rhythm between the merging and the individuation, between the nothing and the rainbow radiance. I was definitely much more interested in, and probably still in our relationship, I'm the one more interested in the rainbow radiance and the podcasting and speaking and writing and sharing and he's definitely much more into the silence, but we're able to really support each other in the ways in which we naturally want to express. So I have to say, I'm really delighted that I'm able to spend my life with another person who's so committed to the path of spiritual awakening. I mean, when we met in 2005, it was still rare to find someone who had taste in the Eastern Enlightenment tradition and who wanted to awaken on the householder path. You know, we had a few friends who were engaged in the Tantra community and played in that community for a little bit, but due to our commitment to sobriety, we really decided to step away from a potentially distracting entanglement, you know, with other people, and we decided to commit to a monogamous path, which I think was actually a big step for us. It's not very popular to do this, but, you know, we both had been through challenging relationships in the past, and my life experience, you know, really has revealed to me that if you want to live with the soulmate and truly experience the beloved, that monogamy can be a sacred container in which the relationship can safely deepen. And I think without that, you really have a bucket and all the water's running out. You know, it's just a bucket with holes, you know, a vessel with holes. You just can't contain the energy. So keeping a sacred chalice or vessel or citadel, we call it citadel quite often, really has helped us establish a fortress of stability and trust that we had not experienced in our previous complicated relationships. So this actually also helps keep things pretty simple. It's really our commitment to each other, our commitment to our awakening, and it's really beautiful. So for both of us, our enlightenment drive had turned on in the 1990s, but the terrain was so arduous. And together we formed a bond, a fortress of love and emptiness that has allowed the tender buds of spiritual awareness to blossom and thrive within each other. We both knew we had found pearls that needed to be polished. I mean, we really weren't perfect when we met, but there was this recognition that It was so strong, the meeting, when we met, when we turned and looked at each other, and we actually met soul gazing. and in that one moment, it was like literally clear that we had work to do together. So, you know, these two diamonds meet, these diamonds in the rough. And why do we meet? It's to really help each other shine, you know, to really become clear. And so together, we've really held each other in radiant beauty, in love, in pain, in apparent insanity and brokenness, in breakthroughs and laughter, in tears and ecstasy. We've witnessed each other's distorted histories, darkness, monsters, freedom, and truth. And all I really know is that for certain, you know, is that after 16 years, our life together continues to be an outer expression of sanity and the inner bliss of union, an in-breath and an out-breath with true nature. I mean, I think one of the things that really shocked me in the beginning, because John Patrick's very handsome, and he really could have chosen just about anybody. But, you know, one thing that kind of blew me away at the time was that he could really embrace not only the fact that I was talented and beautiful and all these other things, because there's some kind of nice qualities that go along with Ein, but I had history and a past and some pain and some suffering and some places where I was like quite legitimately ugly and needed some improvement. And he really could hold it all and hold it all without judgment. And that might be this total acceptance, this trust that whatever was here has really been quite incredible. And I mean, I think also during menopause, when I went through menopause, I had a very difficult menopause, and it was really, we really could not be very intimate for over a year. And I watched him shift and change through that also, as our relationship changed from a very physical relationship to something that was like increasingly spiritual. I mean, I really, you know, the beloved relationship is really on all levels, the body, the emotions, the mind, the spirit, the soul. But it does change. It changes. It comes and goes. It's not always, you know, physical hotness, although that can be there. It's fun. But it comes and goes. There are times sometimes when that's not really what's happening, and then it might become other times when that really is what's happening. So I think that, so trusting that dance of when to touch, when not to touch, when to dance together and when to dance apart is really an important part of the sacred relationship. So we both feel a quickening taking place around the globe right now. It's a planetary awakening that we're finding quite exciting. Yet even with these wild changes taking place, our days continue to be filled with walking meditation, reading, writing, prayer, chanting meditation, self-inquiry, dialectic inquiry. It doesn't change so much, you know, sensing arms and legs, just being fully present with what is, sometimes reading the news, sometimes taking a break from the news, sometimes being available for clients, sometimes being in retreat and not being available, and taking good care of ourselves and understanding that this is the play of consciousness, that something's going on right now. I was a little curious. But the beloved relationship is actually, you know, our relationship with the beloved, our relationship with the divine is eternal. So it outlasts any pandemic kind of situation. So John Patrick's open spaciousness really gives my creative Shakti energy a place to dance, and my rational commitment to the written and spoken word gives John Patrick's inner golden goddess space to blossom, because I have my inner masculine, inner feminine, and he has his inner masculine and his inner feminine. You know, even though I have more of an outer expression of feminine, he has more of an outer expression of masculine, we're still dancing in all these different arenas. So, you know, while the exploration of gender, you know, the male-female, can be very fun, we've had to realize that once true nature opens up, it's really a genderless, unified field. It's beyond male-female. So John Patrick can express his inner masculine qualities, and I can express mine. With inquiry, the dance of the male-female energies merges into a field of form and the formlessness as required. So sometimes we're dancing in form and sometimes we're dancing in emptiness. It really changes. Are we on the in-breath or the out-breath? You know, because ultimately the in-breath and the out-breath breath leads to the one great breath in which all dies and is born simultaneously. I'm going to just say that again, because that's sort of a profound thing. This is what the beloved relationship is really about. The in-breath and the out-breath leads us to the one great breath in which all dies and is born simultaneously. So true nature, which is really where the beloved dance takes us, is the nothing and the everything. So a person has to be ready for their sacred soulmate, their beloved. You've got to prepare yourself. It isn't something that just happens. And some people have a soulmate relationship where it's not really about the enlightenment drive. You know, it might be more about something else, but you're actually helping each other evolve. That's what a soulmate does. They're a companion that's different enough that helps you evolve, whereas a twin flame, or you're exactly alike, and generally you blow apart because it's just, you're too alike. And then there's the Dharma mate, which I mentioned earlier, which is somebody you might have a child with or run a business with or create money with or something like this. But it's not about the enlightenment drive. It's not about the ultimate relationship. So you know, a soulmate isn't something that just happens. I mean, we can say that it is part of our life purpose and mission. We're born to have this possibility of this experience. Some people are not supposed to be in relationship, and that's just not their dharma, and that's not what's happening. And if that's the case, you're probably not listening to this particular episode. But many of us want this experience. They want this experience of merging back into the state of love. And, you know, it was very clear to me before I met John Patrick, I was divorced and I'm a devotee at the time. And so I spent a lot of time each day doing my I am meditation and really merging into the I am-ness, the I am being the, in the yogic philosophy, merging into God. But it's still dualistic at the I am level. Eventually you go into I-ness, which is where there's no individual. It just is one merged nothingness. But at the time, with the I am meditation, and I'm still sort of feeling God was outside of me, and I was also beginning to have experiences of the beloved opening within me, and I would smell flowers. It was really incredible. The room would suddenly be pervaded with this scent of roses. And you know, whether that was Amma, you know, appearing, or the Divine Mother appearing, or my body was actually taking on the rose of the Divine Feminine, who knows exactly, but it was this experience, the experience of the body becoming one love merged with the Divine Mother. And it was incredibly beautiful. John Patrick really has a deep love of Mother Mary and meditates with her, and quite often will go into the church to meditate with her. This merger with the Divine Mother is incredibly powerful. She holds you in a very, very deep embrace. She's, I think, the mother archetype, the mother, the Divine Mother aspect of the Divine, is very accessible to most people. And of course, since we've come from the womb where everything was really perfect, there's a desire to return to that cosmic womb, the cosmic ocean. And so when we meditate, when we do an I am meditation, and it's, of course, in every tradition, like Judaism or Hinduism, it doesn't really matter. When we feel that presence of the Shekinah, and we become one with the presence of the Shekinah, something starts to really shift. The Kundalini activates, our spiritual path quickens, and we become one with the divine. So that was happening. So I was really, before I met John Patrick, I was really establishing in the beloved. I would fall asleep at night chanting the one. I would chant the names of the Divine Mother, and then I'd wake up chanting the names of the Divine Mother, and I would just be in a kind of rapturous bliss. And so I was in a pretty good state when we actually met on this mountaintop, and we were doing prayers for the people that had crossed over in 9/11. And I was very focused on doing my prayers in my position, which was the west position of the water bearer. And I was dancing in some blue robes. And we were told to turn to the person next to us and soul gaze. So we met soul gazing. And the charge of looking into his eyes and meeting him, it was, I realized we were one soul in that one gaze. And when the fellow running the group said move to the next person, John Patrick said, no, I'm not going anywhere. And it's continued to be that way. I mean, has been my rock and many times my salvation. And has held me through all kinds of life experiences, life and death and rebirth on many levels. And that's what we get to do together. You know, it's not like he's perfect and she's perfect and we're just going to be in bliss. I mean, in a way that's going on, but there are many, many different levels. As we all know, there are many levels to life, and it's about being in this totality and complete acceptance of the other, you know, the distortions that are being clarified, as well as the beauty and the light that is inherently who they are. I mean, it's really what we're doing is we're looking at the other person, seeing the divine spark within them, the eternal spark of life, and they're looking at us, seeing the divine spark of light and love that is us. And together we become one spark, one union, one whole, oneness, one blossoming rose of the Divine Mother. So I could go on and on, but, you know, let's see, what should I say next? I think, you know, sometimes the best way to talk about the beloved is actually poetry. So I'll just tell you one other kind of funny thing. When I went to Alma to ask if we should be married, she said, yes, and you're here to destroy everything that keeps him from his bliss. He looked at me and laughed, and he said, please destroy the ego. So that really has sort of set the whole process. And so clearly our relationship from the beginning was filled with love and honor and respect and with the full enlightenment drive on. Very, very rarely ever had an argument or disagreement. That just hasn't been part of what our relationship has been about. Occasionally, and when it does have, maybe in the 16 years, maybe six arguments, and they were always odd. Like it was something I wasn't really expecting, and it would be a little out of the blue, and then generally we would maybe last an hour or two and then we laugh about it, or maybe a day. And generally it's about some sort of misunderstanding. It's you know, instead of arguing or disagreeing or talking about our differences, what we really do, and we've done this every day for 16 years, or just about, I mean, you know, every now and then it doesn't happen, but generally speaking, we have a daily inquiry. Now, if I'm not inquiring with John Patrick, I do a self-inquiry, which might be in a journal where I'm asking myself questions. You know, the classic question is, who am I? And of course, it's beyond the label of the self. It's beyond, you know, I am having this experience of liberation. Podcasting or speaking to you right now. It's beyond, so I'm inquiring into what's beyond the thoughts, the beliefs, the identification of the self. So, and then when John Patrick's with me, the inquiry really is, we call this the diamond inquiry, and it's based on the work of A.H. Almas and the Ridwan School, the work of the diamond approach, which is a very, very evolved spiritual path that he's been very involved in for 20 odd years. And I've been loosely involved in it too. But it's where two people give each other 15 to 20 minutes to speak without interruption. And we bring our iPhone out so we don't interrupt each other. So we're going to have a timer that goes off. So it's 15 to 20 minutes, depending on what we've done an hour before. Generally it's 15 to 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe an hour. Quite often we'll start with meditation, and then we just kind of speak about where we are without interruption. And it can be something really mundane, you know, or it could be an emotion, what the emotion is trying to tell us. You know, where it might be a state of consciousness that's opening up, that we're learning something about. And there's really no commentary. We might ask each other questions to help deepen the understanding, but really, it's just about what's arising in our awareness in the present moment. That's really what we do for each other. So it's not about conflict. And sometimes it is. We got triggered by something. And our one rule is we never blame each other for how we feel. So I might be upset about something, but then I'm going to explore what that upset is and what the message is within that, so that I understand it. And he would hold space for me to do that, and vice versa. So he's very good, I would say. Actually, John Patrick's very good, if he's off track in some way, of checking in and understanding it and looking at it and evolving and doing it quickly. So that's been just a really excellent part of our relationship. So you know, even though our enlightenment drives on, you know, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. You know, it's, he got excited the other day because he learned how to drive the tractor. And, you know, sometimes it's about, you know, picking up dog food, you know, whatever. It's, you know, or it might be that we're exploring a state of samadhi and we're looking up, you know, different yogic samadhi states and what they might mean. And differentiating out levels of true nature of the many, many, many dimensions of consciousness, because you know, the dimensions of consciousness are like the stars in the nighttime sky. It's ongoing. We're just space cruisers inquiring forever, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating. It's fun. It's erotic. It's sensual. It's freeing, and it's fun. So yeah, there's another way to do this also, which is called dialectic inquiry, and that's where we have one question but we go back and forth asking each other the same question. So one we did recently was how are you experiencing emptiness, and we would go back and forth between maybe what deficient emptiness would feel like and what the emptiness to experience the you know, the vessel as a divine song, you know, sort of going back and discovering what you know, whether we're coming from an egoic level or whether we're coming from the level of true nature. So anyway, so this essence of inquiry opens us up, and you know, ultimately we're just helping each other stand in the wow in the cosmic nothingness, or in the love. I mean, he loves to die into the emptiness, and I love the rainbow radiance dance. And, you know, ultimately we just meet in one cosmic union. So, and that's really it. You know, that's our soulmate. That's our soulmates really help us discover our inner beloved. And on the way, I mean, really, truthfully, all of us are already enlightened. We're all a divine spark of light. And then just because of our programming and our birth and our religious backgrounds and all the things that happened to us, our histories, our cultural conditioning, all sorts of things, things get in the way. And then we think we're separated. You know, we think that, and that's where really something like hatred can come up, because you feel disconnected from source. So if a very strong emotion like that comes up for you, then clearly it's time for you to meditate and to get back in touch with your inner beloved. And then you find that the more difficult emotions melt quite naturally. And so, like I said, it's not everybody's dharma to have a soulmate or a sacred soulmate or a beloved. I mean, most people have dharma mates. And some people just think it's just not their thing. That's not what's supposed to happen. But, wherever you find yourself in this process, love is really the answer. You know, the first step is self-love. The next step is to be love. And the third step is to engage in love with a special other. If that's your dharma, if that's your life purpose and mission. And then the final stage is to surrender to the highest path and to become the flute upon which the divine plays. And so I will get to this poem. I think it's time to read this poem. It's from a book I wrote. It's called The Wind Horse, Poems of Illumination. It has this beautiful rearing horse on the cover that my mother painted for me. But it's a little collection of love poems. Some of them have been sung by, they're on a little CD that Maria Cristina and I put out. And but anyway, so this particular one is called Love Song. And it goes like this. I have been knocking on all the doors in the village looking for you, and have been exploring all the stars in heaven, calling your name. I wish to be a torchbearer for your infinite flame. Please expose me to your inner sun, so that I may be illuminated by you. Fill me with your grace, so that I may be a light upon this world. I am a flute waiting to be played by you. Please use me in your next love song. So there we have it. I hope, Trudy, you're happy with this, and all the other listeners as well. Thank you. And I hope this will inspire you to step into that next level of love. And remember, you are what you seek. So if you're curious about the unfolding sacred and modern day reality and want to explore it further, I invite you to view my magical books and fairy tales and all sorts of things on mindkatesullivan.com. You can also find out about Infinite Light Publishing and media, spiritual authors, and wisdom leaders by going on to infinitelightpublishing.com. So you've been listening to I'm Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages. Until we meet again, may wisdom reveal its secrets to you. Its loving, beloved secrets to you. One message at a time. Much love.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.